Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
No English.
I don't know what they're so excited about, but I'm ready. Yeah. Sign me up. Yeah.
Welcome to this edition of Play Retro. My name is Scott Johnson. I'm one of your hosts, and I'm a goofy-looking little flickering sprite hell-bent on kicking your butt and catching flying hamburgers.
Oh, you got some of the flying hamburgers, did you? And I'm your other host, Brian Dunaway. And this one time in high school, some gangs kidnapped my girlfriend and held her in the school ransom. So I busted up in there with my best friend and started popping jocks and preppies in the head with sticks. Trash cans, brass knuckles, pretty much anything I could get my hands on, and kept punching until they barfed and cried for their mommy. Okay, maybe it was a video game that I rented from Blockbuster and used as an outlet for dealing with being bullied. Barf. Sad. Sad barf.
Sad barf. Oh, there's nothing worse than a sad barf. Oh, the worst barf is
you
a sad
okay
barf.
In there?
Yeah. I'm having a sad barf. Hey, everybody. Welcome. We're going to do River City Ransom in the Cuneo. I never say it right. Cuneo Coon games.
You got it. Cuneo Coon. That's the way I've been saying it all week, and no one has yelled at me, so I'm assuming it is correct.
Yep. We got River City Ransom. We got Renegade Garbage. We got Crash and the Boys. We got Super Dodgeball, my favorite, yes. A bunch of other stuff. So if you don't remember these games, don't worry, we'll fill you in. If you do, you already know how stoked you are we're talking about these, because they have a fandom following. Let's just say that.
A little bit.
People are into it. And for those who don't know, we'll explain. We'll make it clear. All right? We'll make it clear. Now, before we do that, I want to give a shout out to a listener. His name is Dennis Burkett.
Okay.
Maybe it's Burkett. I'm not even sure.
Brisket, maybe.
Maybe. But he's a self-published author, and he just published a book on Amazon called Console Kings, The Greatest Video Game Consoles of All Time.
I'm down.
Yeah, by Dennis Burkett. You can get it now on Kindle. If you have Kindle Unlimited, like I do, you just download it. Doesn't cost you a dime. It's just there. And I think the Kindle by itself is like maybe $10 if you don't have Unlimited. But if you have Unlimited, it's on there. Just search for it. Search for Console Kings on Amazon. You'll find it. First thing that comes up. I am so stoked for him and his new published work. And I think it's amazing. And I can't wait to dig in. I've got it all set up. I've got a bookmark ready to go. I'm going to read that shit.
I'm going to read it up real good. And then we're going to talk about it here on the show, right? I got to read it too.
What benefits some
of our online publishers who publish through Kindle and Amazon, what benefits you more? My dab through my monthly Kindle thing, or just me just giving you the money? Give you the money.
Yeah, we're happy to buy. If he comes back to me and says, well, I get a bigger cut if someone just buys it, well, then we'll buy it. If you get more from the Kindle Unlimited,
it's fine. It's like people ask me that question all the time, too. It's like, I'm watching you on Twitch, and I just want to know the best way to donate. Where do you get the most money? And I'm like, well, I appreciate all donations.
Yeah.
However,
there is always a best one. There's always a best one.
I have a favorite.
I'm jazzed for you there, Dennis, and I think that's rad that you did that. I admire authors, and it's one of my bucket list things. I want to make a book one day, and I'm always checking.
Are we going to write a retro book, Scott?
You want to do a retro book?
Write a retro book.
We're doing it. It's happening. Committed. You all heard it here first.
Help is happening.
So go wet your whistle on Console Kings, the greatest video game consoles of all time by Dennis Burkett today. Brian,
we should do a retro comic book. That's what we should do. Well, like, we do Comic Zone.
Well, we'd illustrate the shit out of it. It would be drawings everywhere, you know?
Badass.
Yeah, that'd be the way. Tell me about your failed 3D prints this week. I can't wait to hear.
Oh, my God. So many failed 3D prints. I don't know what's going on. The change of weather. I don't know what it is. But if you're not familiar with 3D printing, sometimes it can be finicky. And I've re-leveled my bed on my FDM printer. I've redone everything on my resin printer. And it just seems like everything keeps failing, which is fine because I could not find any Kunio-kun 3D models. I couldn't find any.
Oh, really?
That's just like me.
I couldn't find any English commercials either. It turns out there's none.
Yeah. That's because it is garnered a cult following in the U.S. And as a result, the library is deep in Japan. And so localization has been happening, but it's still niche, right? It's still niche. So I guess we have to make our own. I guess we have to make our own Kunio. And do
so
that.
You say niche, mm-hmm. I say niche or niche. Which of the three is correct?
You
said niche, and
you may catch me saying it a million different ways according to who I'm hanging out with.
I don't think
I've ever planted my flag and said this is the way you say niche.
Niche. Like quiche, you know.
If no one ever corrected me, I definitely would have always said niche. That's how I learned it growing up.
Yeah.
Well, that's just a niche.
It's a real niche. You do that there.
That's but
yeah, you know. you want to become a good podcaster, you find your niche.
You find your niche.
That's right.
And then you hitch it. Yeah. And then you get on about your business.
Yep.
You got to work hard, boy.
Your ball hitch. Yeah, remember those ball hitches? Anyway.
Ball to the ball. But I've also been watching. This is what I was wanting to talk to you about when we talked about the. Did we talk about the pre-show? Anyway, we talked earlier about doing a Discord thing where we do like a watch along. And I've actually talked to several members of the community about watching Misfits of Science.
Oh,
do you remember the Misfits of Science during the 80s?
Yeah.
With Courtney Cox.
Yeah.
A very
young Courtney Cox. This is like before Friends and all that.
Was this right after her music video appearance or right before? It was very close.
I think her first thing was the, what's his name? Born in the USA.
The music video.
I can't think
of his
name.
Video where she comes up and she dances on stage.
Yeah, but what's the singer? I can't think of his name. What's wrong with you?
Born
I
don't know.
In the
why
USA.
Why am I blanking?
Bruce Springsteen.
Jeez. That's it. Bruce Springsteen's.
Yeah. I think this was after that, I believe.
Yeah. But I was so frustrated with it. I just fired up YouTube. You can't find this streaming anywhere, even though it's an NBC property. This was a time when NBC was changing over.
Yeah.
They had no number one hits when this show came out, and they were just throwing everything at the TV.
Yeah.
They were pulling from Ghostbusters, Back to the Future, I believe. They were pulling just anywhere they could find some like nerd humor and, you know, just like that elevated supernatural stuff. And that's what it was all about. It was about meeting those next metahumans of sorts.
That's right. So they were ahead of the curve, actually, if you think about it.
Right. Yeah. Right. Only lasted one season. And the Misfits of Science, a lot of fun. If there was a made for TV movie, which I may start trying to push on FilmSack and going, hey, you know, we should watch this. It's an hour and a half long and it's a full movie. And they've got real music in it because the pilot episode, the beginning uses real licensed music, not that pilot, not that intro music you were just playing a second ago.
Sure.
I don't think you actually played the music itself, but anyway, that thing is nothing. They were using, you know, the 50s music. One of the main characters is like, his name is Johnny B, and he shoots lightning and stuff. And he likes to pretend like he's going to sing Johnny B Good and that kind of stuff. And he actually does a performance
Hold on. That's why they call him Johnny B, is because he tries to sing Johnny B Good on occasion.
I don't know if it's because he tries to do that, but that is definitely the nod to his character. He is totally hung up on that 50s rock and roll kind of stuff. Matter of fact, they tempt him to join the band by presenting him with a cassette tape of the greatest hits.
Wow. You know what that'd be like? That'd be like today if they made a show like this and one of the kids would be obsessed with, like, I don't know. What's a good song from the 80s that you would just think of as an anthem? Africa from Toto. Like, they would just do Africa all day. That's that's the timeline that you're looking at. You know?
Yeah. Is it? Okay. So from those 30 years distance between then and there. So do you think we've already passed our, do you think the 80s or the 90s are really where it's at right now? Because I feel like we've kind of, the 80s is still around. It'll always be there. There'll always be 50s style restaurants, right?
Yeah.
There'll probably always be 80s style whatever the hell.
If you look at the kid, if you look at kids like teenagers, like what are they wearing? What are they saying? What are they doing? What music are they listening to? It's still pretty heavy 80s, maybe early 90s, but it's definitely still that kind of zone.
Yeah. Still think so with the ripped jeans. I'm still seeing the ripped jeans and stuff. I'm seeing people tight roll still. I'm like, are we still in the 80s? Mullets, I thought we moved on to the 90s.
Mullets. There's a little bit of carryover into the early 90s for sure. Cause mullets definitely carried over. But I think the 80s and the 90s for that matter, they're kind of mushing together in a weird way. They're kind of
They really are. But I guess that's what happens. But man, if you haven't seen The Misfits of Science, it's on YouTube. At least the pilot is, it's all out there. You're not going to find any streaming service to find it on. You can buy a DVD version of it, but you got Courtney Cox in there doing her hair. She's got that short haircut and she'll put her hands on her head and then the screen will go black and white or it'll go negative.
Oh, it's because she can see stuff or whatever, right? She can vision.
Yeah, she's got the mental thing where she can like zap people.
She got the shinin, right?
Yeah, she's got the shiny. We got a guy who can shrink.
Yeah.
We got a guy who can shrink and grow big.
Sweet.
Great.
That's what you want.
Loved it.
No show's good. If you're going to do a superhero thing and you don't have a guy who can shrink, forget it. What are you doing? What's even the point?
What's even the point?
Well, great. If we find the whole set somewhere, if somebody finds the whole thing, maybe we'll do a little private Discord screening with a bunch of you.
I'll get you the whole thing. No worry about that. Okay, I'll talk to Bomby. I bet he has it.
All right. You or Bombats, you guys hook us up. Get us done. Get it going.
Just do it.
And then we're on our way. All right. Everybody, enjoy this.
Shall we play a game?
We're going to talk about, River City Ransom's probably the most known quantity here. It's the name people probably most recognize. But we're going to talk about these Kunio Kun games that were a huge rage in Japan and then have quite a following over here. I remember playing a couple of these games back in the day, and I just thought, oh, that one looks like I see River City Ransom. And go, that looks like Double Dragon there.
Double Dragon, exactly. And I've dismissed this game many times just because of that. I've had people for years and more recently going, you guys need to do River City Ransom. And I'm like, this is Double Dragon. I don't need that. And I mean, it is, but it isn't, right?
There's a lot more going on here. And it's so my preferred of all those like side scrolling 8-bit brawlers. This is my favorite one to play. I like Bad Dudes. Bad Dudes 16-bit or 8-bit? I think it's 8-bit.
I think it's 8-bit. Isn't Bad Dudes 8-bit?
I think
maybe
so.
Not.
I think you're right. There may have been a later game, too. I can't remember.
Right.
But then I liked almost all the ones except for Double Dragon. Double Dragon never did it for me. Not my jam. I don't know why. Can't really explain it.
Yeah, didn't like it. Yeah, I'm kind of with you. And I think actually it might have been, was it 16-bit? No, I'm not. No, I'm the Bad Dudes. Anyway.
Bad Dudes.
Double Dragon was more my jam because I felt like it was pure for the beat 'em ups, and that was the first time I really played a beat 'em up. I never played Renegade, which was the grandfather of all these things. Mm-hmm. That's the reason why I kept dismissing River City Ransom, and I'm so glad that you guys push us to do things outside our comfort zone. It makes me learn.
Sure. I like that too, because this is stuff I didn't know either. And then the other game I played a ton of in the series, or not in the series, but that came from this these developers and these this
Technos
name. The other game would have been the Super Dodgeball. I love Super Dodgeball.
Yes.
Huge fan. In fact, let's play a little bit of that. You get the idea. And you play a bunch of you play a bunch of volleyball, turns out. Or not volleyball, dodgeball. You don't play any volleyball. and throw balls at each other. And in that, it succeeds wildly. And I'm happy to report that Super Dodgeball plays incredibly well on a Steam Deck. It is a perfect little handheld retro game. I sat and played, I don't know, at least 2-3 hours of this week.
And I didn't know this. I'd played Super Dodgeball way back in the day. And once again, all these games that were in the Kunio series coming out of Technos, I did not understand because I didn't have manuals playing these things later on because I didn't get NES until later. And sometimes I have some of these games and I wouldn't have any manuals. And there's no description. There's no hand-holding. And the real joy in all of these games is knowing the special moves. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're just going to get your trash kicked.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't know any of that stuff.
This was a skill-based experience. By the way, there's something I noticed about this. We're looking at the video right now.
Yeah.
The NES version of this featured the NES curse, which is real flickery sprites.
Bad flickering. Especially in this version of it.
Yeah. And it's a fast game, so, you know, it's sacrificing a lot to get this done. Mm-hmm. But the version I played, the ROM I played, didn't have any flicker in it at all.
Interesting. They might have fixed it. So a lot of these games were, like I said, the community that sprung up around this really loves these games, and I see why. And they poured just so much love in these things. So I wouldn't doubt.
They felt to get up ahead of their time because there's like an action quality to this that just is kind of visceral and speedy and not your typical NES fare. And I think it holds up.
Now, is this the mode that you were mostly playing on screen? Scott is playing is kind of a free for all mode.
Almost entirely. This is what I played.
The free for all mode, it's a bunch of you guys. It's out in the yard out in front of the school, the which is where most of these are based at. Right. And you're just, you know, you're dodgeballing. You're throwing at somebody. And if they catch it, they get the ball and they can throw it back at you and hit you. And if you knock you down or you don't get the ball, then, you know, it's basic dodgeball rules here. Now, there's tournament level stuff, and I had no idea to play that because we never played anything other than this when I was growing up, just out in the free-for-all dodgeballing.
Did you play Sam, Mike, Randy, John, Bill, or Steve?
I actually went through a whole team, so you could choose your team since I was playing in the tournament style. I don't think it's called tournament, but it was something like that where you actually get on a you actually get on a field where there's like there's a midway point. You got six members on each side, and you have a line that you can't cross, or you're not supposed to cross, but you do anyway.
Yeah.
Each one of these guys has their own special power throw, and that's really the only thing you can really knock somebody out with. You can lightly throw it, but they're 9 out of 10, maybe not 9 out of 10. A lot of times they're going to catch it. If you don't spin it and use your power move, that opponent is going to catch it.
Yeah,
and
almost always. They'll catch it occasionally with the power move, but much lower percentage of them catching it, for sure.
And so what you can do is when you first start, it gives you the six characters you can play as, and you can choose what position they play. Three positions are basically kind of like a defense where they're on the opponent's side, and they catch the ball when it goes out of bounds so that they can pass it back. And they can also throw and hit people. I went through all of them, so I really can't say who's my favorite.
I don't even know if there's is there a professional rule set for actual dodgeball? Like, I don't know if that exists.
There must be, and I don't understand it because I've seen the movie Dodgeball. Can you dodge a wrench? And I don't know enough about dodgeball. I think it's what's at the core of the Kunio-kun games. The developer specifically, Yoshi Kishimoto, I think his name is.
Yeah.
He specifically remembers getting in a lot of fights growing up, and all of this is set in kind of his world, as well as the character Kunio-kun is set into all of that. And so, there's the selection screen, by the way, that just showed up.
Yeah, totally. But, and they're playing this mode you were talking about where it's divided there in the middle. They're playing in front of the Taj Mahal of all places. It makes no sense. But
here's a guy who lives in Japan.
Yeah.
And here I am in America. And we kind of have the same experience because he's talking about bullies who are jocks, preppies, just different gangs we used to call them cliques.
Yeah.
We didn't call them gangs in school. We called them cliques.
Yeah.
And you would get into fights with. So, you know, what I may be doing may be at odds with what you're doing. And usually you could confront those issues on the field in the dodgeball.
They were kind of like theme gangs growing up. Like we had the stoner kids or the smoker kids in the parking lot, and you had the preppy kids, and you had the, I don't know, the new wave kids and the emo kids.
Yeah, the new wave kids, those are the best.
Yeah, I loved it. Theme gangs are amazing. I wish those were still prominent in schools.
And that's where the series started as well. He was hired, the developer, Kishimoto, I think that's how you say it. He was hired originally away from the competition, by the way.
Yeah.
They wanted him to do some things. He was working on Laserdisc games before this, and they wanted him to do, something similar. And he's like, no, listen up. I got an idea.
Listen up.
And so, you know, he pitches this idea and they're like, okay. And so they went with the first game was Renegade, which was at the arcade before it ever hit the NES. And it was basically Warriors. It was nothing but a pure beat 'em up, and it was all about theme gangs.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, yeah.
And I love that there's a little bit of story to it, because the game otherwise is just sort of, you know, throw a ball at each other. There's not a lot going on there. It's fun, though. I will say this. Okay, if you're a millennial or you're some kind of Gen Z kid and you don't remember, you don't know anything, you have no connection to this, and you're like, well, what is this like? What this game reminded me of and why I think I got hooked on it for so long the other night is the game is basically Super Smash Brothers in a weird way. Like the ball obviously adds a different dynamic to it, but the way that you're trying to eliminate each other, and over time you're getting, you know, harder hits on the guys you're trying to hit, like knocking them clear, in some cases clear off the court. I had a vibe of Smash Brothers the whole time playing this.
Yeah, it's great, because the some of the power moves or some of the players are, you have all kinds of stats and stuff. That's really common, except for Renegade and the Kunio-kun series. Stats and RPG elements are thrown into a bunch of these competitive and beat 'em up games, and they where was I going with that? Anyway, what was it going? What was I going to say?
I don't know. Do you want to talk about? We can talk about Renegade. Do you want to talk about Renegade? Let's talk about Renegade.
We should talk about Renegade. But one thing, Super Dodgeball.
Yeah,
amazing game.
Play it
if you get a chance to play it.
Play that effing game, seriously.
Yeah, play that effing game. Oh, the power moves are really cool. Like Scott said, you can bowl somebody over essentially with some of them.
Yeah,
it's really cool.
And it's kind of intense. It's kind of like, whoa, freaking, that guy just did that. Yeah, it's fast for an NES game. Now, if you get the version of the ROM with all the flicker, I feel bad for you, because I'm watching some of this video going, oh, I don't know if this would be as good.
It's much worse in the free-for-all area, and it might be in part because all of these games were localized. They were first released in Japan, then localized to other regions, and in the U.S. they would always redo the backgrounds and stuff. So they'd just take their big old bit maps and they would change out the backgrounds and stuff. And I think that there may have been a problem with some of the color palettes and stuff and how the NES was rendering. Plus, I think NES was a little bit underpowered compared to the Famicom, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, there was worse chip, video chip.
We'll have to explore that one day.
Yeah, I'll have to look.
I don't know enough
to
speak to it.
But I remember that there was a lot of talk about that, how the NES or the Famicom version of that wrestling game we talked about was one of those where it was like really smooth and clear and had no flicker in Japan, but over here it looked like shit.
Right? Don't you love us, Japan?
I don't know why they gave us the underpowered chip. I mean, whatever. It sold like crazy and made a lot of money and nobody cares, but still.
There's so many different laws in Japan that they didn't get the protection of that here in the U.S. Like in Japan, you couldn't rent video games. And that played into something we're going to talk about here in just a second. Yeah. I'm not sure if they did it on the Renegade ROM version, but they definitely did it in the later versions like River City Ransom.
Yeah.
They removed the easy mode. So it was easy, medium, and hard.
Yeah.
In these games, when they made it regional to the U.S., they chopped out that easy because you could rent these games at Blockbuster, and they didn't want you to do that because they didn't want you to beat it
while you had it, right?
Yeah,
they wanted to buy it
a little bit harder.
Ah, see, it always comes down to the almighty yen dollar.
Ah, yen dollar.
Yen dollar. Look at this. All right, so this is Renegade. And Renegade is not just a dumb dance people do. Renegade is the worst video game of the lot. I don't think this is a great game.
Oh my god, yeah, I agree. It's because it was primordial, right? It was just the NES version. The arcade version, I think, was pretty good, but the NES version was just...
It suffered from some stuff. I think the video I've got here is an NES playthrough, but...
It is.
I played this for maybe 5 minutes before I just couldn't do it. I was like, okay, this is too much.
It's very difficult. And it's very monotonous. It's just you got these 2 minute rounds where you're playing these different areas and you've got to defeat so many enemies, and it's the primordial ooze of what a beat 'em up would really become, allowing you to move in 8 directions because everything was like an isometric view up until this point. We're mostly doing the side scrolling beat 'em ups, where we're starting to get into the isometric views, give you a little bit more.
Yeah, you get a little XY movement access, right? Like before this, it was purely going left or right, and then we would come to expect every brawler to have this dimension. Like we,
exactly.
It became required.
It would create something that I hate terribly, which is being at a 45 degree angle to any of my any of the enemies.
Yeah, and it kind of haunted the whole genre forever. So if you played Streets of Rage or you played what was the Capcom game? Forgot. Well, it was Final Fight. Those Final games, Fight. Same deal. Like you had to get good at lining up your pixels, otherwise you're gonna die, which meant more quarters, which they probably wanted you to do.
So. Yeah. But as you can tell, this person playing here, I watched a couple of playthroughs. It literally, you can run the whole game in about 9 minutes on one life, and then it just it goes through again, loops again, gets a little harder. But I mean, the fact that you can complete the game in like 9 minutes, it kind of tells you how it doesn't have a lot of variation.
This thing was meant for arcades, and it succeeded in arcades. They brought it home. It probably did well in Japan. I don't think I heard of this one back in the day. This is the first time I heard about it.
That was me too. I knew nothing. I think I knew about the arcade, Mr. K. I think I knew about the arcade one, which looks way better. It's a lot more intimidating. It's the experience you expect at an arcade. You throw in a quarter, you play for 2 minutes. You're fighting people on screen, but there's a warrior boss kind of standing and waiting his turn where you get your trash kicked. So it's very, you know, Bruce Lee kind of, you know, it's like, oh, take on my minions and now I will fight you. Where this one, you just got the enemies on screen and you kind of keep moving forward, and then you have to fight a boss, and it doesn't even seem that much tougher than the other guys. It's just
not great.
It's not fun.
It's okay, but it's not great. There are other things I would say people should play in this list first. We've already talked about
the arcade version changed everything. The NES version, I don't think it did much.
Not so much. Here's our chat. Here you can see the arcade version in action. Just a little bit more beef going on here. Still 8-bit, but clearly we got some better hardware in the arcade.
Look at that. That's some arcade action. You got lights going on. You're fighting the lady gang.
Yeah, I think look at the cats. Lady gang, dude.
The lady gang. They got the cats. They got the whips. Yeah. You know, it's very. Oh, it's so
delicious.
There's
the boss. Look at the boss waiting over there in the corner. Yeah.
I mean, oh, look at this. This lady's a big one, boy. She's going to tear you up. But see how much fun this is. It's bright. It's colorful. You've got way more colors than your NES palette, and you know, you got all this dithering going on, and it's all that she's running at you. There's just so much variation in attacks and stuff, it seems. Yeah. It just wasn't there.
Yeah, wasn't there in the home version, but that can always, you know, but that was the deal back then. Arcade games just, they were better. They were always ahead of the curve. That changed right around late 90s, early 2000s, maybe like 98, 99. It started to be like, no arcade machines started to be that advanced compared to home.
Yeah. It seemed like once it got to the 16-bit era, we're getting arcade near perfect.
Yeah.
You know, you could get it pretty close.
Yeah, depending on the game. Like if you're talking about a brand new game that just hit arcade, you might have trouble there. But if you were trying to recreate Joust on a 16-bit console,
a problem.
You had no problem. That was the game. But if you wanted to, you know, as long as the port was good or whatever, but you had the power to do it. But back, you know, today, there's nothing in the arcade that compares to home now.
Oh, like there's nothing. As a matter of fact, it's kind of flipped because now you'll go to the arcade and it's according to where you're at. It's not uncommon to see an iOS game up on a big screen flipped. And it's like, oh.
Isn't that weird?
What?
Yeah, like Doodle Jumps in the arcade. You get tickets from it.
Yeah, it's stupid. Yeah. It's like, wait a minute.
It's so stupid to me. But that's where we're at, and it's okay, everybody. Don't get upset. It's fine. All right, now let's talk about the one that really deserves most of the praise. That music is so familiar to me. So the one of these that I played the most back in the day was River City Ransom.
Yes.
And River City Ransom is very interesting. It's a side-scrolling beat-em-up, very similar to Double Dragon. We mentioned that earlier. You can get in there on your own or bring a friend, travel through the locations of River City. You encounter a bunch of gangs, you know, similar stuff. But this is a lot more like what you would expect from something like Double Dragon. But what we found as we dug a little deeper, this had like RPG shit in there and stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. And I saw the RPG shit before when I played, but I never thought anything about it. I thought, oh, what a nice little side stop, because I'd clear the first couple of screens, and I go, oh, okay, this is just a belt scroller. You know, it's just gonna scroll over like, you know, Double Dragon. And you just kind of keep progressing, fight a boss, keep progressing, right. You know, and you don't really up your stats or anything necessarily. You just pick up cool weapons as you go along, and you get better at your moves and that kind of stuff. But here, you go along and you'll stop at a mall and you'll get some sushi to increase your stamina. I'm like, wait a minute, I press this button, I'm getting stats.
Yeah.
And all that stuff becomes really important because it's open world, and the fact that you can pretty much go back and forth in any direction you want to. The enemies will respawn in areas. But, I mean, you've got the leisure to do what you need to do, and including grinding if you have to, because you have to read books to learn new moves so you can beat some of these bosses. And
yeah.
That explains why I would get so frustrated with this game when I would just try to play it like a regular beat 'em up. I'd make it to the boss and I'd be like, oh, you just kicked my trash. What am I doing wrong? Why did I not do something right?
Right.
Well, I wasn't playing it like an RPG.
Yeah.
I wasn't thinking about stats.
Yeah. No, it's crazy, right?
I learned.
Yeah, it's very, in that way, pretty inventive. Ideas
yes.
here that you wouldn't see much later in games of very different types.
No.
Like side-scrolling beat 'em up, reading books to learn stats. Come on. Give me a break.
Yeah, come on.
It's so weird.
Come on. And you don't just read the book, man. You don't just buy the book. You got to go in your bag. You got to pull the book out. You got to read it.
Yep.
It's just crazy. I love the love they put to this game, too, because like when you go in, you can get, you know, I love eating to get my stamina back up. And, you got your choice like sushi, eggs, it's got all this squid. Really bad idea. Really bad idea to head down to the mall, pick up some squid, and then go do some fighting.
Oh, some mall
obviously,
squid? Blah, bad news.
Obviously, that's what the jocks were doing that you face early on, because every one of them you hit, they go, when you kill them, they go, barf. There's messages on screen that show, you know, some kind of exclamation, usually assigned to each of the theme gangs. And,
right.
You know, like the jocks would use, like, go barf. And every once in a while, if you're in the right area, one of them may let go a secret. They'll tell you where to go to, like, some secret area or something. So,
yeah,
you got to watch for that stuff. And I wasn't doing that at first. And I missed out on some stuff because I'm like, they're just saying barf and mama, whatever.
Yeah.
But you got to watch.
My favorite part is the art style is these little scrunched up dudes with these big beefy arms, and they've got these little chibbly pants on. And
yes,
they're great. I love it.
I do like them. I like the little chibbly pants. And once again, this was in the, you know, Japan first, released about a year or so before on the Famicom. Then it's made it to its way to the NES. They changed the backgrounds. They gave them instead of school uniforms, they gave them like, which all this stuff is supposed to be taking place like at schools and stuff.
Right.
And, you know, we got Ma Bell back here in the background. I guess those are telephone booths and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, they changed them for localization reasons. They got the U.S. mail.
Yeah.
So they did some localization stuff. Go, where's that Mojo's? Where's that at?
Yeah, where the hell's Mojo's? Let's go to Mojo's.
Mojo's.
Yeah.
Trash pickup.
Yep, trash pickup. Men at work. Look at all this English. It's amazing. There's the great carrot farms of Ransom City. Look at that.
Yeah,
amazing.
Those don't look like carrots. They look like, I won't say what they look like, but let's just say I'm always looking for the phallics in anything, really.
I
may have a problem.
These are very phallic. Or you have a problem. I'll go ahead and say it to you, not me. That's what I'll say. Anyway, it's a very cool game and, you know, a little straightforward in terms of what you're actually going to be doing moment to moment. But those weird things on the periphery really make it special.
Yeah. You collect coins, you beat up... So basically, it turns bullying on his head, right?
Yeah.
You beat up a guy, he drops his coin, you grab the coin, you need those coins so that you can buy books so you can get tougher, so you can get that brick punch or whatever that goes really fast.
Yeah.
And you're working your way up to Slick, who's the bad guy in this game. He's kidnapped your girlfriend. You got to actually go past an evil version of the Double Dragon Twins.
Yep.
Yep. And it's an interesting progression. And like I said, I've always poo-pooed Ritter City.
Ransom. It's a John Ritter City. Yeah.
I always poo-pooed it as just another one of these. I was like, oh, it's just another one of these, Ritter.
Yeah.
But it's
more than
it,
that.
It fooled me.
It's more than
that.
And
now I'm a fan.
Yeah,
I'm a fan.
And I understand the fandom. I get it. Why people are so stoked about it. It's a little bit of a bummer that those didn't continue on. Like Double Dragon had stuff. Geez, all the way up through the 32-bit era, I think.
Right. They have River City. Is it River City Girls?
What's that called?
River City Girls, I think, is what. Because they took on the moniker River City after that. The company Technos, went bankrupt during the 90s, I think, and then employees from there started a company called Million, and they bought the property rights, and they kept on this Cuneo series. As well as even once they kind of fell, then another part of that original groups started a company called Arc System Works, and they're still around. You've got River City Girls on 2019 on Steam. So.
Yeah, that's actually a well regarded beat 'em up.
Yeah.
People like it a lot. There are really only two I feel like in the last few years that anyone cares about, and it's this series. There's two now out as well, or maybe it's coming soon. I can't remember, but there's a River City Girls 2, I think.
Yes.
But this was well received, and the other one is that Scott Pilgrim side scroller thing.
Yes,
people love that game.
I'm pretty excited about that.
And I feel like, I don't know, in a lot of ways, those are spiritual. Well, definitely River City Girls is, but
yeah.
But I would say Scott Pilgrim.
I'm hearing good things about the River City Saga, Three Kingdoms.
I haven't heard of that. Is that a thing?
Yeah, I think that came out in last year, I believe. I put a link down towards the bottom of what you can play this more like this, and it's on the Nintendo Switch, I believe, but
also,
maybe on
Steam. Also on Steam. I'm looking at it here. Let's see.
Mostly Cuneo, positive.
Cuneo, the beloved hot-blooded renegade. Oh, they got two. The renegade word in there. That's nice.
That translation is like, what was it? What was the translation? Was it Renegade that had their awesome name, or was it... Renegade, the Japanese version roughly translates to hot-blooded tough guy Cuneo.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's a broad translation. I like it.
Yes, it is.
Real quick here, came out July last year. So that's that one.
Yeah.
And they're all out there. How much is that? $29. Come on now.
Almost all of this stuff, they are really set on this $29, $39 price point for just about everything. If when you're looking at the Cuneo Kun series.
Yeah. Are you a little sad that that they never quite got the recognition here that they did over there? I mean, obviously they've got their fans, but.
Right. I kind of am, but I wasn't ready for this. And I doubt any of my peers. We just weren't playing. We weren't necessarily playing. What was popular here was not necessarily popular there.
Yeah.
Right. So
that's true. That's still true.
Yeah, it's still true, but it's just fun getting to go back and now as you know.
I think it's less true now though. Like,
yeah,
there's so much more crossover and so much less of like naming it different because we're in a different region and all that. Like, it feels like we're a little bit more on the same page, kind of across the board, and that's good.
I think we are. We always threaten to make that episode too, the regionalization of different game titles.
Oh, we're gonna do it, you guys. We're gonna do it.
Yeah.
You just wait.
It's going to happen.
Oh, yeah. You just put that quarter in the slot and hope and wait because we're doing it. Check this out. All right. This may all sound like the same music, but I promise they're different games.
Right.
This is the NES version, Crash and the Boys. Street Challenge, to be specific. And this came out in 1992. So we are in the 90s by the time this happened. And the game is kind of the same mechanics you found in their other games, but you control like side scroll levels, try to defeat opponents, use an arsenal of attacks, special moves, that kind of stuff. There's a bunch of events in here.
Yeah, that's kind of like the mini game of it. It's kind of like you've got a little bit of beat 'em up and you got a little bit more of the competition stuff, which all these Cuneo games kind of do that. They're either beat 'em ups or they're, you know, some type of sports. And here they come with their hands in their pocket.
Yeah.
I really like this. I like the movie in this one. If you don't get a chance to, if you don't play it, you got to at least go to YouTube and watch Crash and the Boy Street Challenge video. It is a straight up 80s movie done in that the style of Kunio Khan.
It's Chunio. Chunio. It's cheesy as hell. Chunio. Is what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Love. And that's worth looking at this one. I found the gameplay a little just too, I don't know. It was a little all over the place, a little scattershot. But that's not why I was tuning in for this one. This one's just fun to watch. And you go the areas you go to and the different activities and crap, very varied. Like you do this
you see golf.
This, yeah, look at this. He's doing what do you call it?
Hurdles. And I hated it.
Hurdles are hard.
Hated the hurdles.
Yeah.
Because you do a little bit of fighting as well, and they got this catch-up mechanic, which all the Kunio Kun series has this like catch-up mechanic. They never allow if you've got a lot of stamina, you're going to get beat up really early on, and if you have low stamina, you're going to be able to fight longer than you thought you could. And here it's the same thing. If you fall and you trip over a hurdle, they'll suddenly just throw you forward, and you're back in the race again.
Game has the most lame. Graffiti. It's all just the word Southsiders and pow.
Southsiders! Pow!
Yeah, it's stupid. Anyway, so it's almost like an Olympics game is what it reminded me of. You know?
Yeah.
Multiple activities. Okay. You're trying to win them all, and they're all tied together with this weird 80s story.
It's the Street Olympics is what it is. It's just a bunch of Street Olympics.
That's basically it. Is Crash a character? I didn't figure that out.
I think you're supposed to crash through these barricades. I think that's what you're supposed to do.
Is that why it's named Crash and the Boys? Like, is that what they mean?
I think part of it's because you'd use that crash mechanic a good bit.
Yeah, you do.
I'm not 100% sure on that. But when you crash through those barricades or the hurdles, they'll throw sticks off.
Yeah.
And if you can pick them up and then throw them in the other lane.
Yeah. Yeah, that shouldn't be the rules should say you can't fight. Like this one right here, they're beating the shit out of each other under the pool, doing a pool race. Yeah,
it's like I said, they combined the things. I'm sure this is somebody's favorite. It weren't mine.
Yeah, it's not mine either, but I respect
it. But you've got to watch people play it.
Yeah, and it's respect its weird vibe.
Yeah, it's hilarious to watch. I don't know that I could recommend the frustration of playing it. But if you're in for a challenge, knock yourself out.
Yeah, and they all have dumb little pants, which is consistent with the with the series, right? They all have that.
Yeah, yeah. They all at least in America, they always had the dumb little pants. That's every time they did an Americanization of it, it was always blue jeans and a t-shirt. When it was in Japan, it was like, let's get some of this martial arts or school uniforms kind of stuff.
Right. Now, we've mentioned it. We mentioned Double Dragon, and it deserves a mention because it's the granddaddy of the side-scrolling beat-em-ups. But Nintendo World Cup deserves a mention. Why do you think that one's worth talking about?
Also part of the series, as well as Double Dragon was originally going to be. It was supposed to be. It was going to be a follow-up to Renegade, and it was going to be a Kunio-kun game, but they ended up shifting it a little bit, and so it ended up not being that. But they all live in kind of the same universe. Now, the Nintendo World Cup, it's one of those sporting events.
Soccer with these same-looking dudes with their little...
It's soccer, but the same universe.
Same stupid pants, same big dumb eyeballs. They got crazy eyebrows. It's such a style. It's like... I don't know what to compare this to. You just look at it and go, oh, it's them. It's those guys.
Yes, yeah, them. It's them. It feels like it always. It always looks like these guys.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, this is them.
And this is one I didn't play this week, but I'll bet I could find a ROM that's less blinky than this Game Boy game.
Yeah, I didn't. I looked at the video before I played this one. I was kind of like, this looks like an exercise of frustration. I'm going to pass on this one.
Yeah.
So I did just that.
You know what we ought to do one time? We should have an episode. We'll keep threatening these weird episodes that we never do, but... We should do an episode where we talk about like the best, like newish game you can buy that looks retro as hell. And I don't mean like,
just I'm pixels, down with this,
but I mean like, you know, I have this game, I have a soccer game I've been playing called, Pixel.
Oh crap. That's a wild. I like that title. That's
Pixel
a good
Pro
title.
Something. I forget, but it's super pixelated and it plays like an old school game. And it's a great example of like retro done right in a modern way.
Right. Yeah.
It'd be fun
yeah.
to do that. Right. Like, just different genres and who's doing what and how and, you know, which Metroidvanias are the most like true to the experience, that kind of thing.
It's true. There's so many of them. Usually the problem is the games are really usually super short. I think a lot of times people will develop these games as a proof of concept that they can create a game.
Yeah.
And then they usually move on. So usually it's not, they don't stick around with the game a lot of times. But if you know of one that has and does and really lives in that,
yeah,
let me know. There's also a new developer package for, I saw this somewhere today. It was like, there was a new NES tool that allows you to create NES games.
Really? New stuff.
NES style games, let's put it that way.
I would love to look at that. Let me do Genesis too. Give me a Genesis thing. That's what I want.
Yes, exactly. Just give me a useful tool for creating something that looks or feels like it.
Yeah. Everything but this. I don't need that. Don't need that. I'm good. Anything past that is fine.
Anything post that signs Scott up.
Although
a new programming language has arrived for creating NES games. This is actually on Time Extension, which is a place I've
visited. So it's probably not some visual tool. It's probably like an actual language script.
A programmer tool named Pubby has designed Pubby has designed a new programming language called NES Fab for NES game development.
NES Fab, FAB, like fabrication. Oh, there it is.
NES Fab, like fabrication, or FAB for being fabulous.
Yeah.
Pubby.games. If you go there, you should be able to find it. And I'm curious how it would be to do this. Run this as a, could I build a ROM and then play it on my NES Classic? I don't know. I want to learn more though.
It says here, okay.
Easy ass loading. Oh, asset loading. Okay.
It's got a GCC compiler, supports C++ 20 standard, blah, blah, blah. Let's see. Debug mode, blah, blah, blah.
Completed games. I see in one. Oh, yeah. The hang glider.
Are there some done games?
No, there's just one completed games. Hang glider.
I mean,
there's
one. This is new, so.
There's a maze games, very new. So,
That's cool, though. I love that. Love hearing about this kind of stuff. All right. Well, there you have it. That's a look at the deep world of all the Kunio-kun games.
Did it. Nailed it.
It's worth checking those out. Right. Yeah, there. I think so. I think we are. If we're not, someone will correct us. But
that's right.
It's cool stuff and should not be overlooked, I think. Even the stuff is a little iffy gameplay-wise. It's fun to look at what they tried to do. So yeah. I recommend some YouTube videos and stuff if you don't want to take the time to play it.
But like Scott said, man, if you got a Steam Deck, man, load this stuff up. Man.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Have yourself a good time.
Yeah, it's great. And the emulation on Dodgeball looked real good. Yeah. I don't know where I don't even know where I got the freaking ROM. I've had it for probably 10 years.
Decades.
Yeah, a long time. Where I got it, I don't know. Can I give it to you? No.
No. If you're asking for it, no, you may not have it.
If you want it,
you can
F off. All right. Time for this.
Destroy it.
We're going to play Guess My Game, where we play audio from an old game and we try to guess what each other brought. I'm going to start with mine. Brian, here are your hints. It's Game Boy, NES, Super NES, and Genesis game that came out over the span of 92 to 94.
Right? That was the same game. It was just slowly getting poured to these different platforms.
Correct. Okay. And they were, the 16-bit versions obviously were better, just graphically and stuff. But that may give you a hint, or maybe it won't. I don't know.
Okay.
But we're going to play it and see what you think. Here you go. Give me.
Videotape from 1980.
This is the Genesis version.
Oh,
by the way,
this sounds familiar. Oh shit! I know what this is. Wait a minute. Wait. I've heard this a million times.
Any guesses? See if the chat's getting it. Oh, the cat. Chat knows. So you got. Don't look at the chat.
Play it again.
Okay, don't look at the chat.
Just the top part.
The
top part sounds really familiar.
Okay, here's the intro. This is CNN.
I don't know what that is. Oh wait, that I know.
Do you know?
Oh, I know what this is. Yeah,
what is it?
Nailed it. Got it.
What is it?
This is a Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Ah, damn it. You got it. Or you're good to close enough anyway. It's Rocky and Bullwinkle. Sorry, The Adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle and Friends.
Oh, yeah, because we were doing the and Friends thing.
We were putting and Friends on everything. I played this for longer than I thought I would, about 20 minutes, while I recorded audio for it.
I remember this one.
It was okay.
Like a Tom and Jerry one, too, that was all right.
I think I did Tom and Jerry last week, didn't I? I think it was my Guess My Game, I think.
Yeah, I think it was. That's, yeah. I think, reason why I started looking at all this stupid
maybe.
Stuff. But
it's very similar.
I watched so much Rocky and Bullwinkle growing up.
Oh, dude.
It is crazy.
I loved that show when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And it was already 10 years in print or something when I saw it.
Oh, I could hear that too.
Yeah.
When you was playing
Nothing
it.
Up My Sleeve. It. Oh, not again. Let's see. Let me find it. I have a Bullwinkle line. I think I still have it.
I haven't seen these shows in forever, though.
Rocky. I know. Where can you even get them? Rocky and Bullwinkle. Is this one? Check it out.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
I think I shall now be sick.
I don't think that was real.
I don't think, but I love that.
I've had that since 2005.
Is that one of yours?
I probably played that on ELR back in the day.
You probably did. You put a fart there. That's been your modus operandi for a very long time. Right?
I don't think I put that one in though. I think somebody else
squeeze
did
a fart in there. Did you watch the 3D Rocky and Bullwinkle movie that they had so many years back now?
No.
Rocky and Bullwinkle?
No.
That?
Well, there was a couple
Sherman
of
and Peabody.
Them. Sherman and Peabody. That was it.
Yeah,
I didn't see it.
Yeah.
Was it any good?
I remember enjoying it. Now I must go back and watch it.
Now you don't remember. I don't either. There's also new cartoons. Amazon Prime or somebody does them.
Okay.
Let me see. I'm going to tell you the truth and tell you the real truth here.
I'm going to tell you the truth.
JustWatch.com. Let's see where this is.
Moose and Squirrel. I mean, come on. How could you not love something about a moose and squirrel?
Okay, the 1959 show. Oh, it was even 20 years older than when I saw it for the first time. Those are not streaming anywhere. That's great. Thanks a lot.
Is it time to watch a Dudley Do Right with everybody's favorite? Is Brendan Fraser is now back. You saw that, right? The Dudley Do Right movie.
No. Oh, I did see that. That was Brendan Fraser. You're
yes,
right.
Fraser.
That's right, everybody. We have to get used to saying Fraser because it was never Fraser. It was never that.
Yeah. Now that we've been educated.
Here it is. They tried to reboot a new series called The Adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle on this is a DreamWorks effort. It was a 2D animation thing. And it was on Amazon Prime Original. And they did a whole season and it's up there.
Nice.
I think it looks all right. I haven't seen it, but I think it looks okay.
Right. It's going to be all about, did you grow the humor along with everything else? Or are you just going to try to do the same humor? Because
it's tricky, right?
I like the humor with the art that they had back then. And there's a nostalgia piece to it. But if you're going to do it in a modern context, you got to make it visually and written.
There's some new humor. Mickey Mouse stuff that I think is pretty good.
Yeah, the Mickey Mouse stuff is really good.
Yeah, I think part of it is because they go hard in making it kind of weird, you know?
Yeah.
I think you can't make them like they used to be or else you're making a mistake.
No. Even though it used to be weird anyway. I mean, come on.
It just was weird. It's always
What is Goofy? Goofy's Goofy a dog? I don't know.
Yeah, what is Goofy?
What is Pluto then?
Pluto, the Goofy owns Pluto. How does that make
sense? Right, why can one talk and one can't?
Donald Duck has no pants.
He has no pants.
He's wearing
Mickey
a little
Mouse
sailor.
Has only pants.
He's wearing like a sailor jacket, but he got no pants on. What the hell's wrong with him?
They only got one suit between the two of them.
That's effed up. All right, I'm going to play yours now. You didn't even need hints. That's annoying. So what do you got for me?
You gave me the best hint. You gave me that. You gave me the freaking music. That music was a dead giveaway.
That was the giveaway. Okay.
This is, let me make sure I'm on the right tab here. This is 1995, and we got a DOS. In Mac is how this thing was originally released.
95. Okay.
95.
3 years after Rocky and Bullwinkle hit the Genesis.
Interesting.
It's a weird way to think of it. Okay.
Yeah.
Here it is.
For 109 years, I've kept you alive and tortured you. And for 109 years, each of you has wondered, why? Why me? Why me? Gorister! Do you remember the last words you heard your wife speak before they took her to the asylum? Huh? Before they locked her away in the room?
First question, is this seventh guest?
No, but aren't they having like an anniversary? Like their 40th anniversary?
I mean, they might be.
I can't answer the question yet because you got to ask me.
Is it a mist-like mystery type thing? That's my question.
It is a mystery, correct. It is kind of you're trying to solve a mystery of some sort. Yes.
Okay.
She looked at you so sadly, and like a small animal, she said, "I didn't make too much noise, did I, honey?"
The
room is padded, Gloucester. No window, no way out.
Once again, some masterful mixing in the 90s. They always do that. All the games in the 90s that had voice, they didn't know how to do it yet, so right. The sound effects and the voices were so effed together. You couldn't hear what he was saying. Oh my gosh, I'm out of questions.
No, you have one more, right?
Yeah, but it's I don't have the right one.
I didn't make too much noise.
It sounds like a horror game.
Yeah, it's definitely
like psychological. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my gosh. I don't know.
25. For all the 109 years that you've lived down here in my belly, here.
In my belly.
In my belly. No one in the chat room guessed it either, so don't feel bad. Except for Skits, who already guessed it. Like, I gave him a preview.
Oh, he knew about it?
Yeah. We was talking about last night.
He's the same guy. I can't look because I don't want to be cheating here, but he's the same guy that said Rocky and Bullwinkle earlier. I
think Skits knows everything. Skits knows all.
Skits knows all there is to know. Right? I'm just gonna guess.
Do it. Give me a guess.
What was the seventh guest sequel? 13th.
The eighth guest. More guests are
more
coming.
More guests are coming. It's something like that. Shit. I give up. What is it?
But it's not. It is not that. This is I Have No Mouth and I Must Scream.
I don't know what this. I never even heard of that.
It's a point-and-click adventure based on, I think the novel is from the 60s, I believe. It's let's see how they describe it on Steam. The adventure plunges you into the tortured and hidden past of a lie of, does that say five humans? Yes, five humans. Delve into their darkest fears. Outwit the master computer.
Yeah.
That's the reason why it was relevant. They get that AI technology, baby.
Yeah. It was coming already in 95. It was coming. Before you know it, it was going to make the Pope look like he bought a cool gangster coat. Wow. I've never even heard of that. That is news to me.
Yeah, I Have No Mouth and I Must Scream.
Okay.
So
something about that,
we're
going to
talk about that one eventually.
That one rings a bell. Why? Why does that ring a bell?
Like I said, you've probably seen it before. Probably freaked you out.
Probably on a shelf or something at like an Egghead or something.
Yeah.
Back when they had retail stores. Oh.
That's right.
You like Egghead.
Because you probably it's very that title is very enticing anytime you see it.
Yep. Do you remember that when Egghead had stores? That was fun.
Yeah, I do.
You could go to one of those, grab a copy of Excel.
Yeah, right.
Maybe a 100 megabyte hard drive and get out of there, you know?
There you go. Get out of here, man.
Yep. It was good times. All right. Well done, everybody. That's my game stuff. Now we take that's some emails one. And things.
Welcome to the treasure room.
Except today, we're doing a text. It's not an email. All right?
Okay.
That's what we're doing. There you go.
I like that. Is that our new sound for when it's a text?
That's just a guy. That's when Bullwinkle dies in that game.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah. I just kind of liked it, so I grabbed it. Anyway, this is a message that came to 801-471-0462. You're encouraged to text us anytime, and if you want to leave a voicemail on that same number, that's fine, too. Don't hold back. Just let yourself rip. Stephen Rushing wrote in, says, you often talk about a time frame definition of retro, and I thought you would appreciate the cover of Retro Gamer being a GameCube title. Here is my take. The dividing line, the dividing technology between modern and retro is online connectivity. He says, I know that the Dreamcast and GameCube and PS2 had modem adapters and some limited internet access, but the next generation is the one that introduced online purchases and systems and game updates, Retro should be games that came out before the online distribution was widespread, pre-stream and online game shops. Just my take. Love the show, Steven. I think that's actually a pretty good demarcation.
Yeah, this is something I believe as well is the game changed completely because we started introducing new gameplay elements. So we're not talking about a graphics advance suddenly like you would have seen in some of our previous consoles. But this is definitely when gameplay changed, right? Because you're no longer focusing on that single player experience. As a matter of fact, there was talk for a long time. It's like, oh, will anybody even play a single player game again?
I'm glad that didn't come through because I like a good single player game. I don't want people hanging around.
I do too.
But yeah, like, so does that mean PS2, GameCube, and Dreamcast are that's our cap? Is that what we would
in
say?
In my heart, that is where I usually stop playing retro games after that, because the PS3, it feels a little too modern still to me. But the PS2, there's a lot of games. Not all of them. There's a lot of games there. GameCube, I definitely feel like that's retro, because I'm still looking at 4x3 in a lot of these games. And whenever I see a 4x3 game, I'm like, oh, wow, yeah, okay, yeah, I'm really...
Yeah, anything pre-16.9 is a good example, which that didn't really kick over until 360 and PS3.
Yeah, and the Dreamcast, of course, even though it was the first one to hit that generation, it really had so many missteps that it really kind of feels like it's in this limbo area. Yeah. It doesn't quite feel up to GameCube, PS2 especially, level. So it feels like it's lagged so far behind, even though it was cutting edge for like half a minute.
Yeah, for like a whole month. It was like
for a whole month. It was the hotness.
I loved mine, man. I absolutely love my Dreamcast. Yeah, it's great.
It's fantastic.
I still say the controllers are a little goofball, you know?
They're definitely goofball. Yeah. We're definitely, you know, the VMU was... There's things about the VMU that are amazing. I love having a screen on my controller. I know it seems kind of pointless, but I've seen it used really well and to great effect. I think that was a thing that we kind of threw away, that maybe we should have kept in some way. Man, I would love to have my PS5 controller with like some kind of like little LED blue layout of, you know, digits or something, or some stats.
Yeah.
I'd love to see that.
What do you think is the most cornball add-on or accessory or I don't know what else to call it, thing like right. that? And for me, it's
most pointless.
For me, it's probably it's right up the VMU's up there, because I think it is kind of pointless. Yeah, but yeah. The other one I think is probably the when the Xbox One launched, it had a Kinect in it, and I think the Kinect was ultimately, it was an interesting little step, but it ended up being like instead of a big stone step, it was a little pebble step,
right?
And it was stupid. And I every think, time, yeah, it was dumb.
Every time I see a fishing rod peripheral, I always want to get it, but I'm like, God, this is so specific. I mean, with a gun, you can kind of, even though it's still shooting, there's so many games you can play. You know, you could be in, you know, you could compete against. It just seems like the fishing rod accessory always seems just so narrow.
It's so narrow, yeah. It's one, like, one use only. At least a light gun. A light gun's like, well, there's lots of ways to shoot things. I can play lots of games.
Yeah, you could play carnival type games. Sure. You could do all the, but I guess you could play with carnival type games, but it just doesn't seem very engaging. It just seems, I like a fishing rod. I like a fishing rod. It's a lot of fun.
I do too, but that's its only use. You're never going to play Virtua Cop with a fishing rod.
Yeah.
You know?
Although, but I got to say, the goofiest I've ever felt, though, is got to be, was it the Game Boy Advance or was it the DS? I'm trying to remember when they introduced it. You could blow on the screen, and was like a game mechanic.
That was a DS. And DS was
it was a DS. Yeah. And I at one point in time, I was like, oh, is it some kind of, it must be like some kind of heat sensor.
No, it's just a speaker. No, it's just a microphone.
It's just the microphone. It's the microphone going, reading this noise.
Yep. It was, I think it was the first version. The first time I used it was the DS version of WarioWare was.
Right.
And one of them you had to blow on shit to make things happen. It was so stupid. Yeah,
there was like a whole, like some kind of, I remember there was like some kind of game pack or something that you could play different competitions and you could, you would blow on it. It was just so dumb. I loved it though.
Chat room makes a good point. The OG Xbox is also in the PS2, GameCube, Dreamcast era.
Yeah, and there's a lot of games that.
But that thing was really online. That thing was hardcore online.
That's what I was saying. But Xbox was the first to really. I mean, that console was designed with the idea of going online. They knew they wanted to be online by the time
that was the foundation. They knew that was the future too. I think they were banking on that. And
the GameCube and the PS2, they added it because they knew it was coming. But I don't think they, I don't, that wasn't first.
No.
On the PS2, it was the DVD drive that was first.
If anything, the Dreamcast was the one that was ahead of the thinking, because that one had one at launch. You could go get one. You had to buy it, but you had to buy an adapter. The other two, I think, it all came later. It was like, wedged in there.
PS2,
like,
I think, had it. We got a port. Did have it built in, but it, once again, they
wasn't built
they were
in.
Focused
you had to,
on
you had to
DVD
buy the
player.
Adapter. I think that was still a thing. Yeah. But yeah, it's weird time. Weird time, everybody. Yeah.
We were stepping through. We were stepping through, and that's usually what, you know, separates the modern from the retro gaming.
I think someone's mowing your lawn.
Can you hear that? Excellent.
Yeah. No, it's fine, but it's how are they doing? Are we getting a good job done? Are you paying
that's
them?
Actually Audra. She's outside. She wanted to cut the grass.
Is it a riding mower, or is it a push one?
No. This is her. I want to have some exercise, and I don't want to get on the treadmill. And so she's like, I want to cut the grass. So she's push mowering it.
That's not a bad idea. A push mower will give you a good workout. It's not bad.
It's a good workout. Yeah. It's not powered, man. She's wheeling that thing through the yard right now, and I'm just like sitting here talking about video games, looking out the window, going, "Oh, you missed a spot."
Yeah. Sometimes we win, Brian. Sometimes we win. That's right.
Get yourself a significant other who will cut the grass while you talk to your friends about video games.
Damn straight. And while you're at it, send us a text or a voicemail, 801-471-0462. Or you can email us, which is, what is our email address these days? It is
playretroshow@gmail.com.
There it is. Thank you very much. Our next show / episode will be all about Ristar. Or is it Ristar? I always said Ristar growing up.
I say Ristar, but I think Ristar may be correct. You would not hurt my feelings if you said I was saying it wrong.
Right. This was an attempt to make a mega hit for Sega. And compete even with the likes of their own Sonic the Hedgehog. They were trying to go for another big mascot-driven platformer.
This was the Sega team, right? I don't think it was the Sega.
It wasn't the Sonic team. No, it wasn't these guys either.
Sonic Software Planning.
It wasn't Software Planning either. It was a whole different group. No. They made an amazing game, and I will stand to this day and die on this hill that Ristar is one of the, or Ristar, whichever it is one of the best 16-bit era games that no one played. Okay.
I agree. I didn't really play it back in the day, but it had such a weird development cycle. There's tons of prototypes out there that was steps along the way. It's got a really cool history that I'm looking forward to.
It's awesome. Into. For real. It's a great game. We're going to talk about it in depth next week. And if you would like to help us do that, one need only go over to patreon.com/playretro. And why would you do that? Because you can throw us a little cash. Why do you do that? So this show can thrive and survive. Mm-hmm. We do this show for you mostly because we love it, but we also need to pay the bills. And some of you stepped up in the last week and helped us do that, like Rathok, James Goodrich, Stan Kaminsky, Shamwil Al-Amin.
I'm all in.
And Adam 12. We know him. He's in all kinds of chat rooms all the time.
Oh, yeah.
You guys are awesome. Thank you so much for joining up and being a part of this operation.
# touched.
Yep. Very touched. PlayRetroShow@gmail.com. PlayRetroShow on Twitter. You can also find us at the website frogpants.com/playretro. Leave us reviews wherever you get your podcasts. Between now and next week, please play something retro. And we'll see you next time.
If you like what you just heard, there's a very good chance you will like all the shows on the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Jeez.
Barf!
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.